Hi Sam, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for having me today.
Very good. I'm sure before we get started, our audience would just love to hear a little bit more about yourself, your background, and you know, your kind of journey to your current position that you're in.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks, Anthony. I think this is really interesting question, and everyone asks, I think, start from there only. So, myself, Sam, and right now I'm leading Indian operation of middleware. So this is my second startup. I already had one startup in the past with my founder, and we exited from there. And right now I'm founding director and also managing plenty of things, including marketing, operation, and team building here in India. I'm mostly working all the time on GTM, finding very different GTM strategy for the company and how we can make it more like, you know, you can create awareness, we can build a product and around it, you know, just make sure that we get the customers, which is my best thing that I do every day. But along with that, as I said, I also look at building team in India. So we started with just three people almost 2.5 years back, and now we have more than 55 people working in India office, and also we have people in US. So we have like two offices. So that's how I'm working right now. And yeah,
That's great. So you're growing very much.
Yeah, pretty good. Growing pretty good. And we're growing not just numbers, like number of team, but we're also growing from revenue. So like every week, every month, we are adding more and more customers. So because that's my favorite topic that I always talk about it, that end goal is for my in the company is to bring more and more customers. Whatever is required, I'll do everything for that. And recently, I was also started sales, not detailed sales, but I generally look at APAC and EMEA region, wherein looking into a lot of leads that's coming through. So I just make sure that understand their use cases, understand their requirement, and then have a discovery call with those people, you know. Then also I'll include my tech people for the demo, and so go through everything. The moment.
Yeah. I think it's one of the things we hear about all the time is the kind of friction between potentially between marketing and sales. And I think what people are realizing more and more is that, you know, those two sides have to kind of work together. You know, they have to kind of come together in order for an organization to run efficiently. It's about finding ways, because obviously, you know, the goal is the same ultimately. For both of them,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, I think yeah. I think it's like a lot of people sometimes it's I'm also thinking that should sales come under marketing or marketing come under sales, but what I understand is these are the two different tasks, different categories that we need to look at it, but they always go parallelly, like, you know, it's not something that you are doing sales and you're not working on the marketing. So that's okay. So that's also again part of my journey that so far, like in my last company, I was mostly into marketing only. I never done sales in my, like I did at early stage, but I never done in at large scale, right? But recently what I realized is that I was generally working in the back end, where in this now, there are people who actually front face, and I was mostly working on the back end, right? And making sure that I create all contents and promote those contents so people should get on site. And I'm pretty good at inbound things. So like doing everything to bring customers, right? But and then like once we have all the details, right? Then like if you can align with sales, if you know the how to do that, I think that's the best part, right? Because you know you do the marketing, now you know you're just doing the sales. That means it's super easy for me to do all this at the moment.
That's great. It means got a great variety of skills. Yeah. So I want to circle back then. I want to circle back to what you were talking about your team. First of all, let's just strip it down to basics. Like, What is your approach to team building? Like, what kind of candidates are you looking for? What do you look for in a person when building a team?
Sure. I have pretty different approach for hiring because I definitely defined the steps that for each candidate we have 3 steps, right? The first step is something that is screening, which is mostly my HR people doing it, and just make sure that we have right candidate, right matching candidate that we need it. But I also before that, I always have call with my team and make sure that define the value and define the JD and requirements and what we need from those people, right? So what we're doing is like once I define those things and I just assign to my team and team start working on it, right? Once they look into it, then like the first round is done, then the second round is something is technical round where people from my tech department they just go and have just check each and every part of technical things. Again, like I'm also part of each and every steps like in the back end. Okay, I'm not working in the front end for those 2 steps, but mostly working in the back end. People always be in touch with me that is that something good or not or blah blah, right? After that, like once everything is done, technically people are sound, people is pretty good. Now the final round I always take care of because I make sure that people who are in is getting join us, it should be as per the culture. They should fit in our culture, which is very, very important. Why? Because I look at 3 things, which is very important for me. For any candidates, the first thing is, of course, integrity, right? So I look at that whether the person is integrated or not, whether the person who is doing is hiding something. Maybe like some person is trying to, hide few information, but he's not able to do. So I do a lot of practices. I ask a very random questions in the interviews, so people should able to answer, and I give more time to those people instead of I speak because. If you can ask someone to speak about a specific topic or maybe a random topic, I'm sure like I can get to know from those people, right? Once that is done, then the second part is something that I always check. As I said, the first is integrity. The second is I look at a transparency. So the transparency is something that people should be a transparent. They should know that what company is doing. What everything is doing. So I make sure that these people know about middleware. These people know about how we work, what we work. Even many times I do share certain information, which is actually not something that should be shared because, but I blindly follow Netflix culture. Okay. So like Netflix, it's very open culture where people actually be a very transparent, but at the same time, once if you give the transparency, if you give the freedom, then you also get some more accountability. You should also more responsible, and you should also be owner of that particular things, right? So once I get into a 2 things, the third thing is very important for me is experiences, right? So I definitely cross check with them the experiences, where they work, what they have done in the past. What was their experiences? What were the challenging moment? What was the embracing moment that they had in their old careers? This all is very, very important for me. Once that is done, then the last thing is ethical. So it's very difficult for me to understand whether the person is ethical or not. But yes, I can definitely do some cross-check. I can verify certain things on the call itself and have pretty good sixth sense where I can understand it very well. I can just, once I start talking, I can understand, okay, yeah, this is something that the person is really good enough for us. And when you're talking, right, when you have knowledge, when you have experiences, and then if you are speaking very fluently and if you're just giving answer in a very right manner, then I think that could be a right candidate for us. And the last thing that I also check is the background, the family background. That is also very, very important. If you don't know about that background, where the person grown up and who are in their family, what they're doing. So if you don't know those things, so it's very difficult, right? We need to understand, because the 50% people in the office and 50% people will be at home. So that means I need to know the rest 50% where the person working, what he's doing at home, and how he is coordinating with these people. How is he helping family members or not? Is he contributing to family or not outside the office, right? So that is very important to understand the culture, because what I understand is that the company is the second home, right? Wherein like you spend almost your 50% time. So that means you know, you need to know that culture very well. You need to know that the people who are with you for rest of like 50% or rest of 12 hours, are you working with them? Are you doing good with them? Are you behaving with them? So like these all things must done, then the next step is that negotiation and all this part, which is like, you know, very small thing. Like I don't more focus on that side. Once it's done, then I just take in that person. So these are the three aspect which is very important for me to look at any candidates.
Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah, I love that. That like, you know, it's you want to get a sense of who they are, because you want to be able to make sure that they're going to be able to integrate into the company culture, don't you?
Yeah.
So who they are outside of work, or who you get a sense of who they are, is very important. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
And one more question that I always ask is their daily cycle. So like how they spend a whole day, like from where they start and where they end. So like I can from there I can understand that person, whether person is active or not. If person is waking up in the morning 6 a.m. or is waking up around 8, right? And if he's waking up at around 6 a.m. then what he's doing. So like I also understand outside office hours, in the office, everything. So that is again a part of whole process.
Yeah, when we talk about building a team, obviously we're talking about groups of individuals together. So what was your approach to, you know, what's your approach when it comes to actually building a team, like putting individuals together? Do you kind of like, and you talked about like building a lean team as well. So I want to know, like, what do you mean by that? What are you talking about in terms of like how the people are going to complement each other? Is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about kind of like doing more with less? Well, what's your approach to a lean team? Can you unpack that for me a little bit?
Yeah, that's correct, I think. So once we have the right candidate, once we have the right person, once the person joined, then definitely I have plenty of process to go through it. So definitely I'll explain everything about process and how we work, what we work, right? Now, I always give a freedom to people, right? So before, let's say many times it happened that if somebody join your team, and if you are starting from the day one that, okay, main, like this is something that you need to do, and this is the target that you have, and just achieve it. No, it's not possible, right? So I always have a self-learning approach, wherein like I'll ask people to go through a product, go through a company that we work in, and also go through the profile that we assign to him, right, or her. So let's say somebody is joined as a marketer. So like it's very important for them to understand the product, right? Because if you are going outside, if you are doing something, and if you really wanted to promote it, how are you gonna do that without knowing what product is, right? So you have to understand that. So that's something is part of it. Once we have that, then we give pretty good freedom that, okay, fine, you just learn it yourself, understand it, and face it. Once you face the problem, then only we will able to understand. So it's very important to get hands dirty in that all, whatever it's required, right? Once you are very well equipped with these things, then the next step is that I just have a call and understand, okay, man, like where you stuck now, what you learn, like the first few weeks, like 1 or 2 weeks, right? And once I understand, when I realize that, okay, this is the gap, or this is something that I always appreciate if something is done very well. So many time it happen that if you are assigning a particular task, the person will always be around that. They will the innovation will never happen. The new things will never happen, right? So that only possible when you give them freedom, right? You freedom to learn everything. Once these people learn it, then I think it's very important for them to even implement it. Because if I whatever knowledge I have, if I just give them, then definitely they will focus on that. But I need to understand what they know about it, what the ex level of experience these people have, right? Once I get to know those things, then I can see the gap. And I always hire people better than me. That's a, like I think, Jack Ma used to say that, you always hire people better than you. It's sometimes it's very difficult to get a people better than you, but it's very hard to work with those people. Like, because these people are so smart, like they may be like they may fleece you in certain cases, right? But it's your responsibility that you need to understand very well. You need to have a proper plan, proper metrics, KPIs on that. Okay, fine. If person is working on XYZ things, then you just give them freedom. You give them all whatever required, whatever materials required, whatever resources is required. So let them get, as I said, hands dirty on that side. And once you are, once the person understand very well, it's very easy to understand. It's very like so. We have a plenty of things to discuss in that case, right? Otherwise, like if I just give and then the person will come up with, okay, fine, I've done this thing, I've done that, pretty okay. Now that's it. So even like if I assign a certain task, then I don't assign in detail. Like I just assign, oh, this is something that you need to do. How you gonna do? Find out. Okay. Now I know very well that okay, fine. How you can do that and what. What are the things that you need to do? But it's very understand for me to transform the knowledge that I have, right? Or the things that I have. But before that, I get their knowledge. Before that, I understand that the level of expertise these people have. Once that is there, then I think it's very it's easy, make easy for me. This will also help me to be a more transparent and understand that the person cannot lie, right? Because like now I already dig into it. I already got everything about that person, right? Now the next step is that, okay, fine. How we can make a better. And the other question that you ask is, yes, the lean team is something that person who actually can work without a leader. Okay. So the thing is, I'm working in the marketing, but I hardly have any call in a 2 week. I don't have any follow-up call with these people. They are doing automatically. They are doing everything on their own. But that doesn't mean that I don't know what they're doing. So I keep eyes on those things. I keep eyes on these things. I'm always be touch with them, these people. But I never say, I never just have their handholding there on that game. Man, like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And, because that will help, that will definitely be a roadblocker for those people, right? Because they're not might not able to do that one.
Yeah, I understand. I think that's great. Like the idea of self-sufficiency as well is a
Yeah,
great
it's very
idea.
important. It's very important. Yeah.
Like you sort of there's an expression which is I think it's give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll eat for life.
That's correct. That's
And
very
I love
important.
that attitude of like, you equip people so that they can sort of take charge of themselves and take the responsibility. Otherwise, as a leader or as a founder, you're creating more problems for yourself, aren't you? That's the
Always,
thing.
always. So, this practice I started, I think, almost 3 years back. Before that, what I was doing is like, whenever I just assign tasks, and if they are not able to do, I do myself and just submit it. Okay. So every time I have to, cover up those people, right? Now, like then, man, like, what are you doing? Like, because like every time they need you, why? Why you need? Because you need to build the people who can work without you. So that's where I started this practice where, okay, fine, let them work. Whether it they, let them face, right? Let them face the all problems. Because why I have to face the problem, right? They have to face the problem. They have to do all things. And then like I understand, okay, fine. This is the my definitely it's our problem, not my problem, not your problem, right? And
Yeah.
once I understand that very well, and now it's really important that if I assign something, my people is very smart that they can do without even, and they never ask me that, okay, Sam, like what are the more detail on that? Yes, sometimes they ask about the context. I think that's very important, because if I say something and then if I don't give any context, then definitely they don't know what it is, right? That would be a multiple aspect for the one thing, right? That let's say if I say something and there would be a multiple meanings of that, right? So I need to make sure that I have the right context for those people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think let's move on then to our second section. We want to talk about, there's something you wanted to talk about, which I think is so, so important, especially in terms of like startups and SaaS startups. I remember reading a statistic the other day that said that so many startups still fail because they simply are not kind of, they don't have an idea or they don't have a solution that solves, that really solves tangible problems that customers are having. And I guess this kind of happens in the ideation phase, right? In the phase of kind of like actually thinking about what you're coming up with, what's happening, and you know, how is it going to serve customers? How are you going to convert customers? How are you going to retain customers, more importantly? So I wanted to ask you about this because it seems like that, you know, what's really crucial here is some kind of validation. You know, maybe don't just go through with an idea that you think sounds great in your head. Like, what is an idea that's actually going to work? And I just want to know, through your past experience, your experience with middleware and everything, how do you go about this? How do you go about actually validating a solution that you've come up with to make sure that there's actually an appetite for it in the market, is what I'm asking about.
I think that's very important and very, like, you know, crucial questions, because again, like, it's so close to my heart, like it's every day, like I'm doing, so I know very well that how we can do that, right? So yes, I think let's start with the ideation, and then I'll jump into you know, a small part of that, so that will be, you know, easy for audience to, you know, understand it, right? So there would be a two type of idea, right? One is something that like the broadly is two type of ideas that people always think for any startup. The one is that innovation, right? So like innovation in the sense, like the people, the idea is completely new and there is no solution available in the market. Like AI, for example, like OpenAI. Let's give example of OpenAI, right? So when the OpenAI started around 2020, they started a little bit early, but 2015, I think, yeah. So at that time, like, of course, there was nothing available. Like, they have to do everything on, they have to initiate, they have to innovate everything from the beginning, right? So it's, there's very, very big risk involved in that, but only few people have guts to do that, right? Because like, it's not anyone's cup of tea. So that is the one thing that, yeah. The second is the problem is there, okay, but maybe the solution also there, but it's not a viable solution. It's not a proper solution. It's not something that people can get advantage of it, right? So that is second kind of idea that people always work on. For example, like I'm having maybe like a company called XYZ, which is actually focusing on the maybe fitness, for example, right? Now, like the fitness is there, like gym is there, for example, gym is there, right? Now people always go and physical gym and, you know, do all their practices, exercise, right? But what if you can have something which is like a digital gym, wherein you can see a display and this kind of display where it show everything in front of you, and then you can do your own, like you don't need any trainer, right? So that is actually like idea is there, right? Everything is there, but you need to do in different way. So the how you can do a different way, or how you can differentiate ideas into different solutions, right? That is very important. So First thing, I think it's very difficult, so let's not talk that much about it, because it's if you really want to innovate something, it's very difficult, and mostly the researchers are only doing those kind of things, like people who hold wide experiences in the particular domain, they can only able to do it. But the second is something that yes, everyone is doing right now, right? So now you find the problems, right? There is a problem in the market, and now you need to come across the solutions that, okay, how you can maybe, like, there is a tool which is a legacy tool, it's not doing pretty good, and it's very hard to understand. It required a lot of handholding, it required a lot of training, right? So nowadays, like, people don't have those time, right? So, like, just go and start yourself, which is something I called a PLG, like product-led growth, right? So that is something that you can start and you can do yourself. You don't need even help from that, right? So that is where, like, the second thing is that once you have those ideas, then, like, talk to the your like the tentative prospect, right? So, like, ICP though is very important part. ICP is the ideal customer profile, right? So, like, let's say who are going to use your product, right? Who are going to utilize in the day-to-day basis, right? So if the those customers are using product, so let's try to understand from them. Okay, let's offer or let's understand, okay, what's the gap? That gap could be in the pricing, gap could be in the offering, gap could be in the support. So there could be a multiple things, right? So you need to find those problems, those, you know, the pain point that customer have. And once those pain point is there, then you can definitely build, or you can like, you know, build solution around it. Once the solution is built, in the meanwhile also you can always talk to some expert people. So, like, in each domain there will be definitely are different people, right? So let's say for customer service industries, like, there are people who are the customer success you know, manager, or maybe some people who are working in very good companies, or maybe, like, the people who are actually innovators, or people who are actually as a working as a professor. So let's try to do a secondary research before we're doing the primary research, which is very important, right? So for any ideation, like, you have to do a secondary research. Otherwise, like, okay, so I'll just give you one example, right? One of my friend, like, they just started company, and you know, they have idea that, oh, this is something that I just want to work on it. They started, I don't want to put the name of that because, like, it's a different one. So after 2 months they're working on it, then they find that there are 10 different companies already doing those ideas. So that is the biggest problem, right? You have to do a proper secondary research, understand very well that is there a real problem or it's something that you feel the problem. It's like, that's where I think you should talk to the people who are actually using that product. Once you understand that, maybe, like, the sizes would be around 100 people, or maybe 50 people is enough, right? You can have a different 50 people working in different industries, get understand that is there the problem is realistic, and also understand that is there solution there available, because I think the ICP know everything about those product, right? If I am working on chatbot, so I'm sure the people who are in the customer success industries, they know very well that what are the chatbot available in the market, and what are the features that each chatbot is offering. Let's say talk about maybe, like, just OpenAI, then Llama model, Meta, then there is n number of company coming, right? So now you need to understand very well that is that the solution is there or not, right? If it is near there, so what's the problem in that? What's the pain point? Once the pain point is understand, then next step is define a solution around it, and just work on two or three differentiator, right? Because that's very important, right? The differentiator could be something that, let's say, there is a XYZ product in the market, and but they are having heavily charging customers, right? And they have pathetic customer support, and there is a pathetic implementation process. It's very hard to implement anything, right? So in that case, what you can do is You can just like find your differentiator, make a list of a top three differentiator. You don't make a 10 differentiator, otherwise you will be stuck. You'll just work around the differentiator, you don't able to build the product, right? So those three differentiator is very, very important at early stage. Once you define those things, and then of course, as I said, talk to various different experts, different customers, different prospect, then create MVP, which is like a minimal viable product, right? So once you create the minimal MVP, then like definitely you again connect with these people and just like ask for the testing, right? Don't just say, okay, yeah, we just released this product and then blah blah, but ask always feedback, like, okay, fine, I just created this for as I gone through a various research and all this, and I found that this is the problem in today's, you know, the business, right? So for that, like we just overcome with solution, and we created very good prototype and MVP. So please like, you know, just take a look and give us feedback that how you feel about it, right? So always ask recommendation. Don't ask for, like, you know, directly, you know, offer them to test it, because nobody has time to test it, right? So you have to, and also you can definitely give some small like maybe awards, or maybe some gift or something which can definitely make these people happy to taste and try it out. Once you get feedback from these people, get feedback from expert people, get feedback from all other people, and then validate that yourself, they go, fine, this is something that people really need. If customer said that, okay, yeah, this is very nice, and they started using it, that means the product is something that is good. Now, next step is that how you can make even better, how you can make efficient, how you can make a cost effective, which is three things that always required. And the fourth is support. It's very important nowadays. Like, people pay for the services, right? People don't just pay for the product. Like, if you have product, like a lot of company have product, but they don't have the good services. Services, and that means support, what I understand, right? So if let's say if I install something and I just look at the customer support page, and I found that they don't provide 24/7 support. This is available on the Monday to Friday, and that also have in particular time, like CST time, they're not available on the other time. So it's very difficult for me to, if I'm on different zone, if I'm from the APAC country, I don't know how I can reach out to those people. And people don't just believe in the email, right? They don't always believe in the personal touch, the personal connections, right? So that is I think very good way to do that. And the last thing is again very, very important, is talk to like not random investors, okay? Because otherwise you will be you know, completely like, you can say like your idea can be still, and people can, you know, maybe like those people can use your ideas to do something different, you know, before you do it, right? So try to connect with a close connection, close investors, and if you can get into some of accelerator program like YC 500 startup, or maybe anything like that, because they already have a pretty good process, due diligence, wherein they can understand, they can know that whether that idea is good enough or not. And then also they know that, okay, if something is working, then what you can do it better, what you can do in the market, right? So because investors are so intelligent, right? They know everything, they know each and everything, like, because those are the, like, you can say the sea of idea, right? Wherein like they have almost all, because they listen to you, they listen to me, they listen to the other person as well, and they know whether things work or not. So as I said, make sure that you connect with the right investor, close investors who actually can trust you and you can trust them. So once you are doing that, I think if you are going through these all three phases, I'm sure that the idea will be very late validated very well. And once idea is validated, then definitely next step is that make a better version of it as per the feedback from the customers, feedback from the users.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I love that. That's really, really thorough. So let's talk about then, like, we've talked about validation, we've talked about making sure that there's kind of, you know, there's an appetite for the product in the market and everything like that. I want to ask you about like some of like the kind of common pitfalls that people encounter today with a sort of GTM strategy, and how you've personally managed to overcome them. What have been some of your strategies?
Oh wow, that's again, like, these are all topics that is very, very close to my heart. And this is GTM is like something that I love it, right? Like, I can talk even more than a day, a whole like 12 hours. I have plenty of things to do. So yes, like what I understand now, like, is that a lot of founders, they start, they have ideas, they have everything, but they don't know how to market it. That's very difficult because, you know, certain things like maybe like where people, they can find the people, where they can find the users, but it's very difficult for them to, as I said, to market the product, right? So now, lot of founders that I talked, okay, even in the YC, like we part of YC, right? So in YC, like I'm actually like consulting with lot of founders, and my founder always have pretty good connections. So like he used to send me a lot of connection that, hey Sam, like this is my friend, and can you just help him with some GTM, because this has started out and pretty good product, but it's like struggling with the GTM, right? So what I understand is that the GTM should start from the day one. Okay, it is not something that you start product, you build the product, and then you start GTM. Okay, then you start marketing it, because if you're building, then definitely you need to. So like, I generally divide in three part, like the pre launch and launch, and then post launch, right? So wherein, like, if you launching a product, before that you need to do a lot of things. You have a GTM strategy for that, and once you launch it, you have GTM for them. And then once you already launched, and then after that you need to do a lot of GTM as well, right? So the initial day is very important, and I personally believe that the inbound is something that, you create a content, you create a, let's say, a beautiful website, not a beautiful website, like website which can resonate with your offering. The content should be right. The messaging should be right. Once you have, and the what I say, look and feel should be also right, because if you are putting a testimonial in the top, and then you are putting services after that, maybe people understand, well, what is it like, because they don't know what you're offering, and before that you're just showing customer testimonial, right? So it's very important to decide that the look and feel of website. Once you have right content, once you have right placement, then you create a content around it. So now, like, for GTM, I think I'll define in three steps, because like how you can, how any early stars, early stage company can do it. And just believe me that so far, like, we are at right now at like, you can say, like, pretty good stage, but so far we mostly focusing on inbound. And the best part of it, that it's like something that you can get a customer from the world, like across the world. Like, you don't have to limit that. Okay, no, if I'm doing something as inbound, like, I'll just limit to that. Like, if you are doing event marketing, if you are joining some event, so you're limited to that, right? But if you are doing inbound, if you are focusing on content, SEO, and all this part, you will actually create the content around it. You create the content for the product, as well as you need to make sure that you are expert in those domain. So for that, I divided content in three part. One is a TOFU, which is something top of funnel, right? So the content where we generally talk about the industry, or like cluster topic, like, for example, if I'm talking about log monitoring, just example, right? So in that case, I'll have to create topics which actually talk about what log monitoring is and how it works, what are the best practices, for example, right? Because that will make me become an industry expert in that domain, right? Because now I have created a cluster topic, I've created a guide-based article and practice-based article. Once I have created those articles, the second part is something that where I'm not talking about my product at all, because that's completely topic based on the user, it's not for the product at all. Second part is the MOFU, which is like middle of funnel, right? Wherein if you already established yourself as a industry leader and you already guiding people that what is this, what is that, after that you need to have that combine certain things and you create a content where you don't talk 100% about your product, but at least talk about some part of it. Let's say how you can optimize or how you can improve your application performance. Okay, so there could be a multiple ways to do that, right? Maybe you need to do you need to optimize, you need to use certain machines, you need to hire some expert and like blah blah. But there would be a 7 or 8 or maybe a 10 topics, right? Under that, in that you can have 1 or 2 which explain your product, how using your product you can improve the performance, right? And the third thing is very, very important. That is something that we talk about product, we talk about use cases and solutions, right? So now, let's say if you are facing problem with the digital experience, like user experience, right? So I will have a topic, something around that, how XYZ company can improve digital experiences or user experiences, how that particular feature like a real-time user can improve the user experiences, right? So that in that topics, I'll more talk about how using middleware you can get benefit of it. So that is something that, so now I'll also talk about two important things here. Is one is the keyword volume, the second is intent, right? Because the search volume is very important here. Like you have to find a high volume, a high search volume, because like if you are going with the TOFU, you always go for the high volume. If you are focusing on MOFU, you can be a little bit middle level of that. But if you are focusing on a bottom orphan, which is called a BOFU, so in that case you always focus for low volume but high intent, because intent is something that it's so relevant to your product, it's so relevant to what you're doing, right? Once you create a content around it, once you have pretty good content, then you always reach out to a different website where you can promote it, where you can just, where you can find users, right? So if I'm talking about, as I said, user monitoring. So in that case, I just need to go and find that where DevOps people are there, where developers hangs on, right? So if developer are on xyz.com, I'll just go there and I try to mention my blog. I try to mention my, in terms of text, image, video, whatever it possible, I'll do in all three format. And once that is there, then I think the other option is, of course, you need to promote on various different social media, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is very useful nowadays, especially for the B2B business, right? So we can do that one. And once you promote it very well, I'm sure that the next step is something that, as I said at the beginning, that the keyword, right? So you need to focus on building backlinks, something around that particular keyword. So people searching for it and you can get on top search. So like for my company, for example, like if you search any of our product, we are on the top of search, you know, the Google search. That means people can directly go and say, understand that, okay, if I am looking for XYZ services, I can definitely look at it, right? And that's how people, so we have pretty good, like as I said, like it's like getting a lot of inquiries, you know, every day, every week, right? And that's all about that. Now, I definitely recommend a lot of companies to do the same as well, because if you are providing us services, like as I said, maybe a service is something related to troubleshooting, very small issues, right? In that case, you also need to find that where people's hands on, where people mention such, like maybe in LinkedIn group, people talk about it. Hey, like I'm having this problems, like how I can solve that. Or maybe a certain forms, right, where people actually mention it. You're like, okay, I'm having this problem, how we can solve it. So you try to reach out there, try to engage there and spread your information so people can know about you, people can know about your product, people can know about your services. Once it's there, then like it's done. Now like you have everything under, and the last part is you have to make sure that you have call to action, okay? Because people are on your site. A lot of people actually having this problem where they are getting a lot of people, lot of traffic, but they are not able to use that traffic, or maybe you can say convert that traffic to users, right? And that is the biggest challenge that people have, is that they are not able to like provide the proper call to action, provide a proper funnel, right? So it's very important that you have to create a funnel wherein like people come on site, when user come on the site, make sure that you have pop-ups, you have sign up options, you have everything, so like people can directly try it out and they can do the things. So these are the few steps that I think very helpful, and it makes up best things out there.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Sam. Thank you so much for that. I could talk to you about this all day. I'm really sorry that we have to cut it short. If people want to reach out to you, more expertise, where should they go?
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yeah, always.
Yeah,
king.
That's my day, every day. Like, you know, when I open the, and when I come in the morning to office, so I always open my email first, and second is my LinkedIn.
Same.
Then I go to the analytics and the other part.
Yeah, for sure. Well, great. It's been fantastic talking to you, and I'm sure our audience are really going to benefit for this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for inviting me and giving me time for, you know, sharing experiences. It was really nice talking to you.